Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast. We help you learn the skills you need to survive modern life. Today's episode is going to be on how to hide your bug out camp. And what brought this up was I watched a video, and let me think of the YouTube channel. It was on Destination Adventure, or no, Adventure Destinations. That's the YouTube channel, Adventure Destinations. And I just started watching it in the last couple days, and he found an old off-grid bug out camp. And I'll put a link in the show. But first, let's pay some bills, shall we? Today's episode is sponsored by Handmade by Nikki. If you go to her Etsy store, you can buy soaps, you can buy baby bonnets, bibs, all kinds of handmade goods. She even told me she made a welder's beanie because she couldn't find one to fit a woman's hair, so she made a bigger one. She got one, copied it, and made it just slightly bigger, which I always have a hard time finding welder's beanies too because I have a fat head. I'm not going to lie. I guess I have a fat head. But also, you know, she does all of her other things by request. You can buy off her site, or I'm sure if you message her, she can make you special order items. And her soap, guys, it is to die for. It's awesome. She sent me some soap a while back, and then I sent her some welding stuff, and then she sent me some more soap. And it was just awesome. In fact, one of these days, I'm going to have to probably get some more. I'm just about out of it. Kind of alternating between regular bars of soap and hers to make it last a little bit longer. So a link to Nikki's Etsy store will be on the website. You can go there, click, and take you right to Nikki's Etsy store. And also, her soap makes your ass smell good. It's right on the label. So, you know, it can't be wrong, right? I'm going to set that up, and eventually we're going to make a banner, and she's going to be an advertiser on the site. There's a few people that are going to be sponsors, even though it's more me sponsoring them than them sponsoring me, because they're good people, and they make good products, and I want to help them in whatever way I can. If I get free stuff every once in a while, it's awesome. But I'm not gonna worry about getting sponsors for my site. It's so much headache, and I just don't have time to deal with people. So I'm gonna sponsor some good people that make products from their own home. And one day I'm gonna do a show about that. Maybe I'll do a show on everybody who does products from their home that I know. Okay. So the link will be down in the show notes. Okay, the next thing is, if you want to show your Lost Skills Podcast pride, I have stickers. They're $3 a piece. And they're high quality die cut vinyl. They last forever. I have one that's been through the dishwasher on my water bottle. I don't know how many times now. Still lasts. I put it on a thermos bottle and I put it through the dishwasher a ton of times. And it's still holding on. So yeah, if you want to get a sticker, shoot me an email. I'll send you my address, and I'll send you a sticker. I just don't want to post my address up on the site for obvious reasons. One of these days, maybe I will start an Etsy store with stickers, and then maybe I'll make a few things and put them on there. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out how I want to brand the Lost Skills Podcast stuff. I don't know yet. Anyway, that gets that out of the way. Now I watch this YouTube video from Adventure Destinations. I keep getting the name wrong. Like I said, I only searched for it once, and I only happened to see it because it said off adventure whatever number off-grid cabin, and I clicked on it because I like seeing those off-grid cabins that are out in the woods and stuff. And I thought, well, hell, you know, this isn't one of my normal channels. I'll check it out, and it's a really awesome channel. And I'm gonna do some more of this. Some of the YouTube channels I've been watching, that the people do a really good job and put really good value into it, I'm gonna, you know, show them. This guy, his YouTube channel, his deal is he was going around his area and finding all these abandoned places up by Canada where he lives, where the gold rush went through. There's all kinds of little ghost towns in the woods and stuff like that. I've been watching, it's been pretty cool. So yeah, go check out his channel. If you do subscribe to his channel, just leave a comment and tell him that Jeff from the Lost Skills Podcast sent you. Maybe we can get a hold of him and do an over-the-phone interview or something. And yeah, maybe we'll do that. I'll just put him on speakerphone on my cellular phone, and we'll put the recorder by it, and we'll see how it turns out. Okay, this off-grid cabin, this guy goes walking, you know, it's like a normal place to go hiking out in the woods. You drive into a trail, and then he gets off out of his truck, and he starts saying, this is a place that, you know, I've gone, and not, you know, I know people go there, but this guy used to come back, and he'd resupply his cabin, and he had a journal, and he used to write in his journal, and how the guy thought that the world was going to be coming to an end soon and all this. And he said that the last entry was 2011. So it wasn't, you know, it hasn't been used for a while, which means people found it and, you know, they took stuff. And I guess the guy even said about how they took stuff from his cabin. And if you watch the video, the first thing I saw straight off was the guy, whoever, the trail goes straight up to it. Like, it's a beaten down hiking trail. And he's walking down this hiking trail, and then the guy kind of turns off. And the trail's still fairly wide and beat down. You can tell that people go back and forth to there all the time. Then it takes you to this like creek that runs by, like one that like a moonshiner would use. And then right next to the creek you see this cabin. And some of the mistakes I see first off is, you know, that anytime you build something along water, someone will find it. I don't care what you build. Eventually a fisherman will find it. Someone boating will see something and they might stop to check it out. But this, you know, this little creek followed through the woods, you know, people are hiking, they go to get water from the creek and look over and see a cabin, and then of course they go check it out. It's basic human nature to check out something that's like this. Now this cabin wasn't really big. It was probably 12 by 12. I don't think it was 12 by 20. Maybe it was 12 by 16. It was not very big at all. A very small and cozy cabin. Guy obviously built it pretty much by hand. He carried in some items, I'm sure. And when you build something like that, and if it's not on your property and you carry in items, you do run the risk of people seeing you carry a window in, or carry in this, or carry in that. You know, out of the normal hiking stuff. But I think probably the first mistake this person made was having an established trail to go to the cabin. You know, you can follow the established trail, and then there, you should have like 5 or 6 different like little sub trails that go to the cabin, where you could take one time, take one another time, and you know, you don't beat down the vegetation, and you know, people don't pick up on the fact that it's an actual human walking trail. Even 5 or 6 different paths to get there might be too few. The less impact you could leave, the better, in my opinion. The more ways you have to get there, the better. Especially if you're exiting a main hiking trail to go to it. So if you're ever going to build something on public property, just know that, for one, it's subject to being torn down by the government because it's public property and they would consider you a squatter. But the other part is other people use public property too. And, you know, it's going to be probably found and it's going to be ransacked. So there's ways to mitigate that, but we're not going to talk about that now. I just want to talk about the things that are obvious that you shouldn't do. The second thing about this cabin is he built it on the water. It was pretty dense woods where they were. I mean, it wasn't super dense, but I understand why the guy wanted to be so close, because then you don't have to carry water. Carrying water sucks. But 300 feet of separation from that little creek on an unestablished trail would have given him much more privacy. I would have probably even went further, 400 feet, especially if it's thick brush. And what I would have done is a little bit of site preparation would have went a long way. Every year, I think I would have, in the spring, went around the woods and probably dug up some just like pine trees and stuff, and I would have moved them between me and the creek just to make like a thicket of these trees to keep prying eyes off of my place. You know, that's one of the things that I think I would have put there. You know, there's, you know, using terrain to your advantage. If there was a hill between him and the creek, building down into the side of the hill away from the creek, or, you know, or building just away, well, building away from the creek anyway. But as you can see, the cabin really, as I'm very surprised with it being as public and obviously as well traveled as it is, that it wasn't ransacked more than it was. You know, that there weren't beer cans everywhere and you know, people partying there and stuff. But you know, the other part is if you're gonna build something like that, you have to either make one of two choices. Either you have to leave it open and leave a note saying, please be respectful of the place. If you need to rest, take a break. If you need shelter, take shelter. There's a little bit of something here in this cabinet. You know, make a fire. Please replace the firewood. There's two, that way you could go with it. And, you know, if some weary traveler finds it and needs a place to stay, you do that. Or the other place is you need to lock it, and you need to lock it very securely. Put shutters on the windows so that it's hard to get in, or bars or something. You need to harden the shelter. And honestly, if you find something like that out in the woods, I think that most people would take a cabin like that being locked up. Certain people would take that as a challenge to get in. Nobody's going to hear them anyway, so they're going to come and try to break in. And if there's a little bit of rain noise, I'm sorry, guys. It's raining. Unfortunately, it's the best time now to record a podcast because my AC is broken in my truck, and I can't I gotta order some parts for it. So I can't roll the windows down and record because the audio will be horrible. So now that it's cool out because it rained, now it's starting to rain harder. So I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I was looking at this little cabin. He had like his own little fire pit, barbecue grill type thing. You know, it was a pretty neat little camp set off in the woods. And you know, honestly, I would love to build something like that on my dad's property. And my dad's property, unfortunately, right now has a snowmobile trail that runs through it, which brings its own set of problems. Is that if there's a snowmobile trail and there's a trail that goes up to your cabin, or a trail that goes off the trail, sometimes people like to explore. It's human nature, and they find things on your property. A lot of people won't take them, some people will. But I always wanted to build a small little cabin that way, and I thought it would be really cool. So, you know, yeah, I'm trying to think of what else I want to talk about. Materials. I do have a few thoughts on how to get materials in. The best time to bring in materials would be at night. Unfortunately, bringing in materials at night can be dangerous because you could trip, fall. If you're carrying a window, you could fall, smash the glass, and hurt yourself pretty badly. So my recommendation would be, in the case of this cabin where there was a main trail and then this guy kind of built off a ways from the trail, is you would bring in some of those things at night on the well-established trail, hide them in the woods, and you know, make sure you're far enough away from the main trail where nobody will see you. Gather them up, and then during the daytime carry them the rest of the way to your cabin. That's how I think I would do that. I mean, if you see a guy with a window strapped to his back hiking through the woods, you're gonna think he's going somewhere. Maybe even the wrong people would follow you to see where you're going, to see what you're doing. But if you bring in your stuff and you kind of hide it, that would be, you know, the preferable way to do it. Or going during weekdays when people aren't around, not people aren't around, but less chance of running into people would be a smarter way to go about it. Let's see. Another thing is that I don't know this for sure, and this person never really looked around, but I would almost bet that if this person was a real prepper or a survivalist, I bet you there's buried caches all around that cabin. I would almost guarantee that there's ammo boxes or PVC or something buried around the cabin. And if you were going to build a place like this, you know, I would put maybe a couple of things of food or whatever inside the cabin. And I would take any long-term supplies, firearms, whatever I want, and they would be cached somewhere near the cabin, not like super right around the cabin, because someone might get the idea to look and see if they can see where the soil was disturbed. But you know, within a couple hundred feet of the cabin, you have a PVC pipe buried with a rifle and some ammo, or a 5-gallon pail buried with a handgun and some freeze-dried food or MREs in it or something. I would almost guarantee there was stuff like that buried around there, because looking at the size of the cabin, it's really not big enough to have a whole bunch of supplies in it. I mean, he had books and he had some supplies in there, but he didn't have anything that really stuck out to me. And in a disaster or shit hit the fan, he's not going to be wanting to hump in, you know, backpack after backpack of food from his car. So I would almost guarantee that somewhere along the lines there's food cache that nobody's ever found, or ammo, or whatever. And it might not be ammo, because in Canada, I know it's hard to get firearms, they're restricted and stuff, so That might not be buried there, but it might be. But yeah, I would almost guarantee there is, and that's what I would recommend is bury, you know, long-term storage food in a cache and stuff, and have a little bit in the cabin, and then the guy, when he goes to stay there to work on his cabin, I'm sure he just packed in his food for the weekend or the week or whatever he decided he wanted to do. Yeah, I would almost guarantee that. And if you're going to do that, you know, be smart. Break it into multiple caches. If one's exposed or found or whatever, your other ones are safe. Make sure they're well marked. I wouldn't necessarily leave a map of them in your bug out cabin. Maybe I would make a small micro cache outside your cabin or under, you know, somewhere where it could be easily found or dug up with a map to where all your caches are. That would be another way to do it. You have to be smart. You have to know where all your stuff is. So organization there is key, you know, to make a map and put it somewhere. And then, I mean, you could roll up a map into like a 1-inch piece of PVC, cap both ends and bury it a couple inches below the ground somewhere, or a foot or 6 inches below the ground, whatever, where it's easy to dig up. I mean, that's not a big deal. That way, if you know, you forget over time where you put one here or there, then you could easily go back and find your master key and look it up. I think that's all I have about caches. Lately, you know, on some of the episodes, people have been commenting to me, you know, sending me messages, and I thank you guys. And I'm gonna talk about that in another episode, where I'm gonna address a few of the messages. Also, guys, if you want to, you know, get a hold of me and send me a message, if I missed something during an episode, or you think that, you know, I could explain something better or improve on what I'm doing, feel free. If you want to get a hold of me, you can message me on Facebook. Just go on Facebook, send me a friend request, tell me you listen to the show, and I'll accept your friend request. I don't have anything to hide on Facebook. I don't have too many friends on Facebook where they're not going to let me friend request you. Do that and just tell me you listen to the show. Or you could go to an app called MeWe. It's MeWe. I use that also as well. You could just look up my name, Jeff Radtke. It's Radtke, if you don't know how to spell it. I'm on both of those. Look me up. I don't remember what my profile picture is. On Facebook, it says Lost Skills Podcast under my name. Works at Lost Skills Podcast. So that one's easy to find. The MeWe one, I don't know. If you can't find it, you know, shoot me an email, lostskillspodcast@gmail.com. That's another way to get a hold of me. Feel free to get a hold of me and comment on the shows. Or if you want, you could go to the website and comment on the show there. So there's lots of ways to get a hold of me. Any feedback you guys want to add in? So I'm more than willing to hear about it. The septic system show, a couple of guys sent me some feedback, and I'm gonna do another show. I'm gonna talk about that, their feedback a little bit. So with that being said, I'm gonna end the show right here. I hope you guys enjoy the show, and if you do, send me an email telling me that you like it, or if you send me an email saying that I'm stupid. Either way. So I'll see you guys later. Bye.